Amen. Thank you, Leo. Bow the knee. Second one of our young people that's used that song in recent months. Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. Begin reading in Luke chapter 5 in the first verse together. Luke 5, beginning in the first verse. Mitchells are away on a quick couple of day vacation this weekend. They're currently at church with David and LV Frankie right now this morning in their church. And Hannah was the other one that sang that song a number of months ago, in the past year, Bow the Knee. Thank you, Leo, for that nice special given to us. You found your place in Luke chapter number 5, and beginning the first of the chapter together. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And let's bow for prayer once again. Lord in heaven, we ask now that you would quiet our hearts before you. There are troubled hearts before us, I'm sure, just because of normal situations of life and things that are pressing. And Father, would we give our full attention to the truths of your word that we'll look at this morning? And would you, in a concerted way, work in our hearts in these days, you know, our needs. We confess our weakness, our neediness before you, asking for your bountiful working in our presence right now, this hour together. Accomplish what is needful in our midst, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of our message this morning comes from this passage, and it's simply this: launch out into the deep. Each year we begin with a theme. We begin our church year, and we have sort of an unusual situation with our church/school calendar. We have a very large church ministry, Deltona Christian School, that begins in the fall. We begin tomorrow with teachers, and the next week with students. And we launch usually in the fall time, coming into the school year for a particular purpose. I know it's not the calendar year, but it's the beginning of the ministry year, and we've chosen to do that time after time and to cast a theme and to allow God to do some special things in our midst during that time. And this year, I would like for us to think about this matter of launching out into the deep, and I will put before you, it is time for us to launch out into the deep, all the way out. Not just a token launch, but all the way out. The thought occurred to me this morning. Many of our songs and our emphasis and our service has been militaristic. We began with the choir number, Soldiers of the Cross. soldiers of the cross. Some have said, well, it's just a figurative, just kind of a nice thing, you know, you think about that. No, it's very real, very real. And we just heard an offertory having to do with a militaristic approach to our salvation, to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to press home to you the truth this morning that it is time for us to take back territory for the Lord Jesus Christ today, this year. And as we think about a church theme, it is time for us to take back territory that we have ceded to the devil, that has been lost to our evil adversary. It is time for us to take back our America, our nation. It's time for us to take our country back. Our country has been hijacked by people that hate God, by people that hate the things of God, that hate the very principles on which we are founded. And you need to do little more than be vaguely aware of news happenings today to be aware of what I'm talking about. And it's time that we take it back. We've lost territory, and we need to move forward in a militaristic way. That is not just a haphazard, not just a nice suggestive way, but we need to claim back territory. Now, there's something that is very true about any campaign to regain lost territory, and here it is. It's harder to get it back than it is to give it up. Once you cede territory, once you give in to something, it's much harder to regain it and to take it back than it was to casually let it go. Now, Jesus addresses that in this passage, and I would like to use just this simple phrase. And getting back to the context, this was early in the ministry of Jesus. So it's unusual that we have one instance of miraculous fishing early in the ministry of Jesus, and also late in the ministry of Jesus, after his resurrection. We have one pinning both ends of the earthly ministry of Jesus over 3 years apart. And on this particular occasion, Jesus is teaching from one of the little boats. We had the privilege last year in the spring to be right on the Sea of Galilee. And you'll notice that there are three terms in Scripture that are used interchangeably for the Sea of Galilee. One of them is used here in our passage in Luke 5. That is the Lake of Gennesaret. It's called that. Same Sea of Galilee, Lake of Gennesaret, and also the Sea of Tiberias is the third phrase that is used in Scripture to describe the same body of water. Pastor Foster and I were both called upon to share devotional challenges at different points along our tour in Israel. And mine came up on the Sea of Galilee in the very cove, they believe, where Jesus spoke these words in Luke chapter 5. And that really just covered me up it was an experience that I couldn't even describe to think about. I'm in the very location, the very cove off of the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus spoke these words, and it humbled and impressed me greatly to be at the very sight of that. But Jesus, as his custom was, would preach back to the throngs on the seashore from a little boat. But when he was done speaking, he issued these words in verse 4, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught." Launch out into the deep. Now, historically, you know the rest of the passage. Simon Peter objects respectfully. He said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything." Now, that's called fisherman's excuse. Fisherman's excuse. But he followed it up with these words, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And boy, was he surprised at his act of faith in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. But just the concept of launching out into the deep, launching out into the deep. I would like for us to think about that and of our church ministry, if we would, about our need to launch out into the deep right now at this particular juncture of history. Now, we've been through six crazy months, haven't we, since things pretty much shut down. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost as if I've had 6 months missing. You ever feel that way sometimes? Or what happened? All of a sudden, here we are, and we don't know how we got here and what happened in the meanwhile. And I'm not sure about all the ins and outs of this. But it's time to launch. It's time to go out into the deep in victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that we are called upon to be cautious, to be prudent, to be respectful of authorities and the recommendations of those that supposedly know the ins and outs of this COVID-19 situation. I have come very much to doubt and to distrust almost everything that I hear. Are you that way? Or am I the crazy person? It's just come to the point where I have very much called into question the veracity, the truthfulness, the ability of many who are higher ups and who are over us to tell us the truth. In fact, let me state it a little more plainly. I think we've been lied to about a lot of things. Now, I do not doubt that there's a real malady, there's a real illness that is circulating among us, and people are dying from it. I know that. You know that. We had the funeral for one such lady on Friday. We're able to be involved in helping with the family in that. There are others that we're praying for now, such as we just did in our prayer time, for some that are suffering with that. But everything that goes with it, it was very interesting this morning. I mentioned this to our Sunday school class, and those of you that are live streaming for the second time will have to put up with this for number two time. But Mavis Liddy shared with me an interesting thing. There was a casino somewhere, a certain place, that had been operating pretty much unhindered. You know, it's okay if you get a bunch of people together for gambling purposes. But someone got the bright idea, well, you know what, we can bring a church in there, and we can have a church meeting in that casino. Well, guess what, they got busted, because you can't have church, you can't have people come together like that. It was okay as long as they were gambling, but not for church purposes, which tells us it has nothing to do with people's concern for the safety of other humans, right? It has to do with something else. And so we've been storied to about some things, we've been deceived, and I'm still trying to sort out some things. And in the midst of trying to sort out these things, I'm at the top of the leadership of our church and responsible for facilitating safe gatherings, social distancing, and all the rest that goes with that, operating a large Christian school ministry, which is under the microscope of many people looking. And that's the responsibility. I would not do anything intentionally to jeopardize the safety or the health of any individual, would not. We could absent-mindedly let something slip through, but a lot of demands upon us in these days. But nevertheless, it's time to launch out into the deep. And I'm issuing a plea to our church, let's launch together. Let's take back some lost territory for the glory of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's walk forward in victory. Now, you've all experienced this in ways. If you have someone that tells you the bad news and how sick you're going to get if you show your face in public, pretty soon we have a whole society of people that are walking around like whipped puppies. Now, you know what a whipped puppy is like, don't you? Tail between his legs, he's just sort of wandering around. Well, I wonder who's going to hit me next, you know, one of those kind of a deals. And I think a large section of our nation of America has been whipped and beaten down to the point where we've been dispirited. We've been taken to low levels because of that. It's time for us to rise up in victory. Amidst all of the difficulties you are having. Now, I'm not calling for civil disobedience. I'm not doing that whatsoever. I'm saying we need to learn to think for ourselves biblically, scripturally, rationally, legally, and put all of it together and then move forward in victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is needful for us if we were to launch out into the deep. Now, I would like for us to observe a handful of things concerning the deep. First of all, let's think of the perils of the deep. Now, obviously, Jesus was addressing men literally about going out into deep water and letting down their nets for a catch of fish. There are perils in the deep. So for our part now, I'm speaking figuratively and spiritually about some truths. I'm not suggesting that you leave church and go out and find you a boat and get out in deep water somewhere. That's not what I'm saying at all. So obviously there is a spiritual connotation of what we're talking about this morning rather than literal. But let me remind you that spiritual is more real than the physical. Some look at things scripturally and they say, well, that's spiritual, so it's not real. No, it's spiritual, so it's very real. It's very real. In fact, it's more real than the physical. Our physical senses can be fooled and deceived. There are spiritual truths that are not able to be violated in God's Word. But there are some perils of the deep. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, Paul spoke about perils that he had encountered, that he suffered for the cause of Christ in his voyages, his journeys, in his bad experiences that he'd had, being persecuted for the cause of Christ. And he mentioned the word perils repeatedly. In fact, he alluded to perils of the deep. In fact, he said he'd spent a day and a half in the deep, shipwrecked, floating on debris from the ship, apparently. And he knew what the perils of the deep were. Now, getting back to the here and now, are you afraid of deep water? Are you? Now, my wife is a little bit funny about this. She's pretty comfortable when water is shallow, where you can see what's in the water, and where you can kind of manage that and maintain that, you know. But where you get out where it's deep, she's a little more uncomfortable because there are things down there that you can't see. Well, there are things that are down there that you can see too. And as far as the depth of the water and drowning, how many of you are good swimmers, good strong swimmers, good swimmers? Okay. How many of you are, you're just not so good. You're not so good swimmers? Okay. But let's suppose, did you know that you can drown in 7 feet of water? Just like you can drown in 7,000 feet of water. It's all the same. The difficulty would be recovery of your body. But you can drown in 7 feet of water, or actually you can drown in a bathtub. You can drown in a little bit of water, just like you can in deep water. But there are some special perils of the deep. What are these perils, these risks, these dangers, these frightening things, these perils, these scary things? Now, when we speak about launching out into the deep, of course, we mentioned to you that we're speaking about spiritual things, but there are some unseen dangers, some perils. I know that some of you are aware of this, but the battle that we see raging before us in America, it's not as described in the mainstream media that you may be tuned into. That's not what's happening. It's interesting to me to hear some of these commentators, and I don't waste my time on the mainstream media because they don't even know the truth, much less tell the truth, but they'll say things like this. Well, there were largely peaceful protests in Portland last night, and in the background you see buildings burning, and you see explosions going off, and they're saying, mainly peaceful, if that were in my neighborhood, I wouldn't say it was mainly peaceful, but we've been lied to. There are perils, there are risks, there are unseen dangers that are there. But here's what I'm trying to get you to see. There's something that's going on. There is a spiritual battle and warfare that is being conducted before our very eyes right now, and there are clearly two sides to it. And they're not political sides. It's not the Democrats and Republicans. That's not it at all. There are clearly two sides to the conflict. There's a side that is against God, and there's a side that is for God. Now, you can't divide the political parties up into sides that will correspond to that, because it won't work. But I'm telling you, there are some good people that are good, godly people that want to do right, and there are others that are bent on violating everything that God wants, and hence the conflict. Yes, there are unseen dangers all around us. Thinking of a passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll not turn there, where the prophet was up against some opposing forces, and a young man, one of the young prophets, was viewing the danger and the forces that were against him, and he prayed, said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." There are hidden things spiritually that are working around us in our midst today, right now, that we don't know all that's happening, all that's going on. And that, in essence, is one of the perils of the deep. It's one of the dangers that we're faced with right now. There are unseen dangers. There are frightening things in the deep. Frightening things in the deep. Frightening things in the deep. Remember years ago, we had a men's outing here in our church, and we decided to go deep sea fishing. And the weather was rough. Some of you men were on that voyage, that unfortunate expedition. But in the fall, we had arranged to go at a certain time, and the weather was rough, and we just couldn't go, and we just couldn't go, and we kept checking with the boat and the skipper. And finally, the weekend came, and he said, "Yes, I think we can go." What we didn't know was he just needed a payday. He just wanted to get out there. And our second tip, our second indication would have been that we didn't see any crew on the boat at all. They were all down below sick as a dog. They couldn't even stand it. So the skipper was up top, and guess who else was sick? Well, everybody in our group, pretty much. I mean, it was quite the fishing trip. I'm not sure if I even wet a line. That's terrible to pay for a whole day's fishing. Very expensive, and not even put a line in the water. You'd think you would have better sense than that. But anyway, it's one of those days that lasted forever, and you wish it could have been gone. I suggested, you know, there's a good fundraiser for our church right here. If you could have somebody to meet us out there about 30 miles out, with an escape boat, and say for $5,000 you can get on here, I'll take you right back to. People would have just flocked; they would have just flooded on that boat. Anyway, during that outing, we were in the deep. We were in deep sea. We were out in hundreds of feet of water, and there was a whale shark came up underneath our boat. It was an aluminum boat, and he brushed under the boat. You could see him come down, and he came up and surfaced on the other side, and he actually dwarfed the whole boat that we were on. I thought, man, he could have easily just flipped us into the next world easily. Frightening things are out there in the deep. They are, literally speaking, but you know there are frightening things that are in the deep as we launch out as a church as well. It may be government opposition. It may be societal opposition. It may be many other things that you could think of. It could be the fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen, how this is going to work out. It could be the fear of failure. And did you know that's one of the most frightening things in the world? Fear of failure. It's what keeps people from witnessing for the Lord Jesus. They're afraid that they might fail. They might not say the right thing. They might fail in some way, and so they just don't. Frightening things, unseen dangers, frightening things, and then it also involves launching out into the deep spiritually. Involves leaving your comfort zone, getting out of your comfort zone. Where is your comfort zone? What are you comfortable with? You know, it's sort of amusing watching people come into church. I'm not making fun of anybody, but my friend Sam Harmon, he's finally got used to riding that wheelchair a little bit, and he's a little steadier that way getting in, and I feel a little more comfortable with him coming in that way. But I watched him when he's coming down the aisle. When I pushed him down the aisle, you know, with his cane, he was counting the pews. And when he got the right one, he set his cane down and said, "That's it, right there. That's his comfort zone right there. That's his pew. There's a little brass plaque, has his name on the end out there somewhere, I think, right where he sits. And different folks are comfortable in different places. We've had different ones like that where that's your comfort zone. And Sam knows I'm not making fun of him. I'm laughing with him about this. We're creatures of habits. I have my place where I like to sit in church. I had my place as a teenager, as a child, where I used to sit. My dad, in our younger years, was always a song leader in church. And we were always supposed to sit on the second row on this side, right on the inside, right there. That was our seat. You didn't sit in the back, you didn't sit in the middle, you didn't somewhere else. That was our place, right there. And there was a purpose for it. I didn't know it then, but it's so he could keep an eye on everything. And he could manage everything from leading the songs. We were right there, and I guess it worked out pretty well. I could tell you some interesting tales about that particular seating arrangement, but I'll not take time to do that this morning. But comfort zone. Did you know that we can settle into to an existence, to a routine, to a normalcy of sorts in our life where we're not effectively, actively launching out into the deep for the Lord Jesus, and we're comfortable there. We're comfortable there. Now let's think about this. What makes you comfortable? I hear folks all the time talk about, well, I just can't find a church where I'm comfortable. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. What does it mean to find a church where you're comfortable? Are you speaking of the pews, of the temperature of the air conditioning? No, I think you're probably talking about something different. I think you're talking about something more important than that. But I fear that sometimes God, people can fall into a comfort zone and we can just sit and get so comfortable we go to sleep. And you know, there's not a whole lot of difference between a sleeping person and a dead person. Do you know that? Basically, a little bit of heartbeat. The outward appearance is all the same. There aren't too many bodily signs of physical activity in life, are there, when you sleep? And I'm being a little silly, a little facetious, but you know, when you sit down and go to sleep, you're not serving any good purpose. Now, I'm not talking about sleeping in church. It happens to the best of us. I've done my share of fighting battles to stay awake in church because of late night working schedules and everything else. I can sympathize with you wholeheartedly. I know what you're up against. But I'm speaking in generalities and speaking, of course, spiritually. If we settle into our comfort zone, we just sit down, that's it. We're not serving any effective purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that's perils of the deep. Yes, there are some uncomfortable, dangerous things. But think of the prospects of the deep. That's where the disciples caught this miraculous catch of fish. That's where they went for the real action. That's where they were blessed of God. This was the place of God's full blessing. It's the place of victory. Launch out into the deep. Get away from the familiar. Be obedient to the Lord and take advantage and be a recipient of all of the prospects of the deep. And then hurriedly this morning, the third thing is the person of the deep. The person of the deep. And I'm speaking of the person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Has it occurred to you in reading this passage in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus was with them? He was with them. He was in that little boat, launched out a short distance from the shore. And he said, go out into the deep and let your nets down. And he was there. And for the rest of the narrative and the context, we can confirm that Jesus was actually present on the boat with them, the person of the deep. Did you know that when you and I launch out into the deep, when we step out, when we leave our comfort zone and go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes with us. He doesn't hold back or step back and say, now, you go out there and I'll be thinking about you. No, he's with us. We have promises of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, Jesus ended by saying, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the person, the abiding person of the Lord Jesus Christ with us in the deep. Scary things have happened these months? Yes, they have. Are there some things that are coming in the future? I'm convinced wholeheartedly that we're in for an e-ticket ride. Now, most of us would not know what that is. How many of you know what an e-ticket ride is? You know? All right. You were around Disney World years ago, weren't you? When they used to give you a little coupon booklet of tickets. You had A tickets, B tickets, and C tickets. You didn't get on anything without a ticket. Well, the best ones were the e-ticket rides. That was Space Mountain and Hall of Presidents and some of the better attractions. Those were e-tickets, and everybody used those up first. And then you had to ride Mad Hatter's Tea Party. That was an A-ticket, I think. You know, some of those things. Did you know that when you launch out into the deep with Jesus Christ with you, you may have an e-ticket ride, and I hate to use the secular analogy for that. You may have a tumultuous ride, but Jesus is with you and will safely see us through the other side. I'm convinced that we're in for troubled times. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. We have the Word of God. We have preparation that's given to us in Scripture that says, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come." They're here. They've been here before, and they'll be here again. But we're going to endure a lot of things. A lot of things are going to happen, things that we never thought could possibly happen. Let's back up about 6 months. Put yourselves in reverse for about 6 months and go backwards. How many of you 6 months ago could have believed that there would be widespread violence and looting and burning and disorder and all that we've seen in these months? Would you have ever believed it? You would not, would you? You would say, no, I just couldn't see that in the near future in America, but here it is. And that's just the society that we live in. But it's an indication that there's a need for the Word of God to go forth in victory and in power. And we need to be soldiers of the cross, marching forward in victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, well, preacher, that's crazy. We just need to kind of drop back into the background somewhere and hold the fort and just keep a low profile and don't ruffle any feathers and don't make anybody unhappy. No, it's time for us just to walk forward in victory. Never a time better than now. And let's do that. So as we think about a theme for the coming year, let's think about launching out into the deep. Launching out into the deep. If you can't swim, wear your water wings. Take your life preserver, wear your life checker, whatever you need to do. Let's launch out into the deep, fully prepared for the challenges that lie ahead and also for the protection, the provision of the Lord. And He'll give it if we'll receive it. Let's pray together this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for all that You have done in the past and, Lord, for all that You will do. And we can depend upon You. We expect with whole hearts for You to accomplish what is needful in our midst. Lord, we don't know exactly all we should be doing, but we know that You'll give us a clear path, and we'll look to You for leadership and for a direction and for protection, provision for all that we need. So bless, Lord, this invitation time. If there be one here that need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ in any way, help them to have the soundness of heart and mind to come to You in simple faith and do that this morning. Bless this invitation time for Your glory. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Foster will lead us in a hymn of invitation. I'll be down front to receive you. If you need to speak to me, I'll be there to greet you. If you need to come to the altar and pray alone, feel free to do that. Let's stand together as we sing.